Previously on Thomas and the Bible, Jesus comes across a fig tree with no fruit on it. So of course, as any rational person would do, he curses it. Jesus then tells some parables that don't make much sense, including one where someone gets thrown into outer darkness for not wearing the appropriate attire to a wedding. People question him whether they would get to have their brother's wives in the afterlife. And Jesus tells them that they don't know the rules and that they would be age-ended angels. Then he flips over the tables in the temple for people selling stuff for too much money. The Thomas Young count of three.
All right, thanks Harley for that intro. Good stuff. So, yeah, Thomas and the Bible. Hello, I'm the Bible. Anything to say? Not really. Mainly just, I can't believe I'm doing this stuff, pretty much. And yet, here we are. Here is you, and here is I. Okay, Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Okay, so far all this has happened a million times in throughout history. So let's see. And many false prophets shall rise. Yeah, okay, that's happened a million times. And shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Yeah, you're just screwed. I like it how he's like, and people who are with child and nursing a child. Yeah, I don't know. You're screwed. Woe to you. He doesn't really give any advice. He's just like, yeah, I don't know. That sucks. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive in the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles be gathered together. What? Immediately after the tribulation, Of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth the leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. Summer is Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye, the science.
So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, oh, here we go again, guys, here we go. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. There he goes again. I'm pretty sure he means that the second coming will be within this generation. That's kind of what the words say. Now, I know that a lot of people think that, oh no, you can't read the words and what they're saying. You have to come up with some reason that they would mean something else, because if not, this would be wrong. See, that's, I think, kind of the logic. And to that I say, no, it could just be wrong. But I don't know. I suppose if you want to hang on to some, like, translation error argument, I guess I can't really argue with that. I mean, I can look at the details of it. Anyway, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What does that mean, I wonder? As the days of Noah were. So I guess like the flood and all that. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. That's what he calls them. See, they're close. He and Noah are really close. Jesus and Noah. They're like this, if you can see what I'm doing. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Well, that makes sense. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is as a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah. Well, that's a good trick, I'd say. I mean, if I were Jesus, hey, guys, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back. No one's going to tell you when I'm coming back, but you have to be ready. Now, if some guy's going to get his house robbed and then he knew when the thief was going to come, yeah, he would just be awake for that or watch. But, you know, so that's why he can't know, which I don't know how that makes sense. But and furthermore, I don't really know. So that's the end of Matthew 24, by the way. I don't really know why the people have to pay such close attention. Like, what are they going to do? You know, like, if they're, I mean, I assume they just need to live as Christians or Jews or whatever Jesus would have wanted. And then when the rapture comes, it'll just be the rapture, right? Do they have to, like, play a crucial role? I mean, I know he said, like, you have to run from the mountain to the mountains or something. It's like, yeah, okay. So then just whenever you see, like, just chaos, dogs and cats living together, something like that, then just run to the mountains. I don't know. He talks like you have to be ever vigilant, like every day. It's like, I think we'll notice when the rapture happens. You know, how betrayed must all of these disciples have felt? Because Jesus is like, no, you be ready. You be ready any day. Mark my words. Be vigilant. You cannot be not vigilant. You have to be very vigilant. And then, so they waited and they waited and then they all died and nothing happened. So literally every single one of them died thinking, come on. I was vigilant my entire life and I'm done. I'm now on my deathbed and nothing. Okay. Gosh, what an asshole was Jesus. All right. So we are on to Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Ugh, idiots. You believe these guys taking their lamps with no oil? All right, so we're getting... So in this chapter, by the way, we're getting parables. More parables. But, parables give me something to think about, at least. It's not that bad. It could be a lot worse. So, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But then he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, this is all just to say, could be any time. Oh, you just wait, you. Could be now, could be 5 minutes from now, could be 10,000 years from now. What? 10,000 years? No, never mind. It's definitely during your lifetime. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling, I thought it said travailing for a second, traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents to another. Sorry, I just keep fighting with my mic, battling. To another, 2. And to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made the other 5, same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoned with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that had art and hard man. No. I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Jesus was really challenging us with these thous and theirs and those, thou, blah, blah, blah. Although maybe it's just the King James English. His lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take that. Well, I thought they weren't allowed to charge usury. What the hell? Would God make up his mind? For unto every one that hath been shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even away that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. You guessed it. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee. I have a guess. Is this going to be when however you treat the least among you is how you treat me, or something like that? Let's see. Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, or and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he also say, Them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we the hungered, or thirsty? We've already covered this, but whatever. Or stranger, naked, or sick, and prison, and not miserable unto thee. And he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So that was such a good line that Jesus decided, like, I want to say this one again, because that was a good one, guys. But I'll be honest, this is really good. I can understand the appeal of this sort of thing, because that's a great message. I mean, I there's no arguing with that last. Now, the first two parables were crap. I think they were just like, oh, be ready and earn me some usury. Otherwise, you know, like, they didn't really make sense. But this one is, I mean, this is just great, because he's saying, like, I mean, I'm sure you understood it, but he was saying, like, well, you get to go to heaven, you know, whatever, the pearly gate situation. He's like, you get to go to heaven because you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what? I don't recall seeing you. Were you down there? Were you on it? Because I don't remember doing that. And Jesus is like, well, whatever you did to, like, the least person among us or among you, you know, that's what you did to me. And that's a great message. And I don't understand, like, that should be Christianity right there. I mean, every single thing, you could almost go down a lit. How odd is this? I had to make a meme or something. But you could go down the list, and literally for everything in this beautiful passage, this really, really great moral teaching, I think. This really is. For that time, it is. Give the devil his due. you could go down the list of the Republican agenda and essentially find something that's the opposite of this. Isn't that weird? They're not feeding the hungry. They're not, you know, they want to keep people out of the country. Like, not the people who are strangers, they don't take them in. It's almost every single thing. A prison, you know, like, the prison population is largely a result of conservative policy. Like, every single thing in that wonderful passage by Jesus H. Christ is literally the opposite of the Republican Party. I know there's going to be I have a couple Republican listeners. I'm sure that's not what everybody who's a Republican thinks, but largely, like a lot of the right wing nonsense is like the opposite of this. I mean, really, extremist Christianity could be, I don't know why it isn't, but instead of God hating fags, it could just be treating people amazingly. And like, are you hungry? Let me give you all of my freaking food because that's what Jesus told me to do. Are you sick? Let me give you universal health care. Like, I got to make something because, I mean, obviously I can't be the first person to have noticed this, but it is striking. It is really striking. Matthew 26. Now, I know we're supposed to be having like a longer reading actually, but I'm already on the last chapter. Maybe this is a really long one. That's pretty long. Okay. Matthew 26. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Jesus just wants his oiling, okay? He digs the oil. Don't question it. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, who were meeting for the first time right now, by the way, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So apparently the oil was the last straw for Judas Iscariot. He's like, freaking Jesus. Always going around miracling stuff. Taking oil that he doesn't need. That we could have sold. That's it. That does it. I'm turning him in. That's it. The oil really, I mean, that was a lot. It was a lot of things, but like the oil really just, man, that's just too far. That's too far. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. They're like, can we finish eating first? Like, do we have to talk about this heavy subject right now? And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Well, it's pretty easy to tell, because, like, if you haven't or you don't plan on it, then it's not you. Is it I? Well, do you have plans to betray me? Well, no. Well, then I'm going to guess not you. But one of you has plans. You'll know. You know, there just shouldn't be that confusing. Like, you'll know who it is. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It has been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And they're like, oh, God, come on, man. Jeez, I was going for a nice, delicious bite of bread and it's your body? Come on, dude. It's disgusting. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of the remission of sins. Blood, dude? Did we just drink blood? What are you making us do? We just ate your body. God, I was just going for a delicious bite of this garlic bread here. It's wonderful, wonderful recipe. But, you know, Judas's mom had a great... And then I go to take a nice, after realizing that I've now eaten part of your body, which is disgusting, by the way, I go to take a delicious gulp of wine to take my mind off the disgustingness that I have. And then you say it's your blood. God, this freaking guy, I'm never eating Passover at this guy's house again. This is ridiculous. Can I just go somewhere to have a nice slice of bread and some wine that's not... Blood is the furthest thing that I would want to. I don't want to drink blood, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, water, milk, anything but blood. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended, because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples, and I'm sure they were right, and Jesus was wrong. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jeez, these are the worst disciples. These are comically bad disciples. He's like, Come on, I'm about to die. I'm the Son of God. This whole everything's for me. This whole thing. And you can't watch me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, these loser disciples are just about the worst disciples that there could be. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now that he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forth one he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of his angels? Like, oh yeah, do that. What, do that right now, Jesus, come on. But how then shall scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? What, who cares? Just kill all these guys with a team of angels. What are you doing? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out against, as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. It's all about the old scriptures for some reason. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Well, yeah, because you told them to, pretty much. You can't really blame them that much when you're like, hey, don't fight back. We're all going to die. They're like, okay. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end.
Man, sorry. Oh, man.
Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses. They said, I were the false witnesses. Like, oh, come on. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Well, they're not really false witnesses, because that's kind of, Jesus would say that, I would think. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he's like, well, me? No, not me. Who of what? What's this of what of who? And he again denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Crew. That's like crowed. Get it? And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Yeah, it would be... These guys have really bad memories. Because, like, why not during the first time that you deny Jesus, after this all happened, and Jesus said, hey, you're going to deny me. What? No. Yep, you will. I would have remembered immediately. Like, oh shit, I have to deny Jesus. I don't need to do it three times and then have the cock crow and then be like, oh, no way. That's what Jesus said would happen, man. No way, dude. Like, that really wouldn't need to happen for me. But all right, so that's the end, actually, of that. So that's very interesting. That's like everything that I remember from the New Testament at any time. That's pretty much the whole story. I think it's funny that we're already to Jesus on trial and dying. And Jesus has done and said like three things. I mean, he did have that really good passage that I like a lot. You know, whatever you do to the least of me, you do to me. That's great. But that's about it. I mean, he did a lot of miracling, and really, I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to write a better book, just do more of this guy. I mean, this guy's pretty interesting. Talk more about his life, what he teaches, have him tell his, I don't know. It's so quick. Like, it's a Reader's Digest, you know, version of events or whatever. It's just nothing. But anyway, All right, I'd like to thank my wonderful patrons. I feel so patronized. Go to patreon.com/TNTheB, T and the B, if you'd like to patronize me. I'd really appreciate it. I think I might have had a new patron. I shouldn't say that before I check. Oh, yeah, there we go. I had one the other day. Thank you so much. Oh, no, that's Katie re-signing up. Well, thanks anyway, Katie. I always appreciate you. You're the best. Let me thank my all-time greats, John Bodley, Marcel, Katie, Stacy Swaney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarlane, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerford, Lee Brimesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, Eriberto. Thank you guys so much. I love you guys. Really do. Thank you for supporting the show. I'm really looking forward to the next iteration of this podcast, too. Well, there's still plenty of New Testament to be done. There's also plenty of things I could do after the Bible, like the Lost Testaments, like the Lost Levels. There's a bunch of stuff I could do. I'll have to figure out if there's a way we want to do that or anything. But anyway, that's just random thoughts. So thank you for listening as usual, and I will see you guys next week.